An expert panel, Dr. Siddharth Kar, epidemiologist, University of Bristol from the United Kingdom, Dr. Shahid Jamil, senior virologist, Dr. Joita Basu, co-founder and director of Doctors Hub, and Dr. Vishal Rao, dean of the Center for Academic Research at the SCG Cancer Center. He's also the member of the expert committee, COVID Task Force, Government of Karnataka. Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Siddharth, I would like to begin with you. The global experience with the Omicron variant, how is the UK dealing with it? What have you learned? Because the biggest problem right now is lots of correct information.
Yes, so the global experience is obviously evolving and we are learning as we go. But in terms of how the UK is dealing with it right now and what India could learn from that is, first, I think not to panic in terms of policy responses to an incredibly high number of cases. We are going to witness a lot of cases in India as well in the next month or two. But most of those, as Dr. Swaminathan mentioned, are likely to be mild or even asymptomatic. So to not panic. The second bit is to focus on vaccines. You know, we've got very high levels of coverage in the UK. And likewise, I think in India, the first dose coverage has almost reached 90% of adults. But it's time to speed up the second dose coverage and third dose coverage for those in the high risk category. So these are the two main things. And the third thing, if I may add, is, you know, have a policy for who you want to admit to hospital, because one of the ways hospitals get filled up very quickly in India in particular is if people self-refer themselves to the hospital. You know, most of these can be treated at home, and we must have a very clear policy on hospitalization.
That's true. Dr. Jamil, I want to come to you now. You know, the transmissibility of this virus is something which is being discussed a lot, the new variant. Unfortunately, what has happened, Dr. Jamil, and I don't know how you look at this, a lot of people in this country seem to have gotten themselves convinced about the fact that this new variant is not that harmful and it is okay to go about their daily lives. You think that's a very, very dangerous understanding of the variant?
Yeah, I do think it's dangerous. And, you know, even I have seen scientists and epidemiologists argue that this is a natural vaccine, Omicron. I don't think we have evidence to suggest that. And, you know, all these experts who are saying this fail to realize that there is something called long COVID. More people who get infected will show symptoms of something or the other years down the road. So how do we deal with that? So I think this message that is going on, that this is a natural vaccine, a God-given vaccine, all kinds of things are happening, is a very, very dangerous message. It just leads people into complacency in a country that has, you know, not really complied very well with masking, in a country that's very densely populated, in a country that has, even in the best of times, relatively modest healthcare infrastructure. So I think that's a very dangerous message to go out.
What do you think, Dr. Basu? You know, I want to ask this question of each one of you, because there seems to be this information, misinformation, I would say, that this is not a harmful variant. How can we come to this conclusion?
Everybody thinks that it's very mild, and everybody thinks that because it's mild, we should be able to ride through it, even though the whole world can get infected, and that's how this pandemic is going to end. But what I would like to tell them is, even though it may cause less disease, a small percentage of a large number of people, you know, even that can overwhelm the healthcare
True.
System.
So in it's absolute not numbers, necessary it can that be a lot.
Absolutely. It's not, most of the people will get mild disease, but the remaining 10%, if you look at India, it's we are 1.4 billion people. That's a huge population. if everybody gets infected, even if you take 50% of the people get infected and 10% of the 50% need hospitalization, that is enough to overwhelm our hospitals. So I don't think we should be taking this lightly at all. This is not something which is a mild variant. Everybody is going to get the disease, and then we are going to rough it out, and then the pandemic is going to end. It doesn't work like that. That's a very simplistic attitude to take to, and we should not be allowing people. Sorry about that. I want to make it very strict and say we should not be allowing people to enter malls without a vaccine card, without masks, and all that. We should keep all those things into place. I'm not in favor of lockdown, but I'm definitely in favor of mandating masks everywhere. A vaccine mandate should be present for all vehicles, all flights, malls, even eating joints.
Well said. Dr. Rao, in terms of policy, and since you are part of the, you know, the COVID task force in Karnataka, do you feel that 2 years on, even now, governments, and I'm not necessarily talking about Karnataka, but from your experience, do you feel governments have a very knee-jerk reaction to a new variant or a new wave? Reduce the capacity of the metro train, stop this, stop that. And then obviously there'll be a fallout. For instance, in the national capital, you reduce the capacity in the metro, and that led to a sudden surge at the bus stations or bus stands. Now, that's not a very wise way of dealing with this pandemic. If the idea is to maintain distance, the exact opposite is happening.
Sure. Thank you, Sangeet. What I would like to reiterate at this point is, if you look at December 2019, we had the entry of the D614G. December 2020, it was the Delta. December 2021, it is the Omicron. And every passing year, at December, we get to know that the virus is trying its best to get stronger. The latest data that I was connected with from the University of Glasgow Center of Virus Research is showing that it has altered its route of entry also in the cell, which they, in this preprint, have raised a lot of concerns about, saying that from compared to Delta, Alpha, and the earlier variants, the Omicron has also changed the route of entry. Now, we have substantial proof to show that it has higher transmission, it has potential vaccine escape, and virulence-wise, as my previous speaker said, and I agree with Dr. With all the earlier speakers, to reiterate this part and emphasizing to what Jameel said, it is too premature for you to now make a premature victory announcement at this juncture when the virus is evolving at such a virulent pace. And when it reaches the tipping point, its biological behavior is going to change. So at this juncture, policymakers, I think, will need to look at the five aspects of the, you know, we've been doing the first three T's very well, but the last two T's, the training and teamwork, needs to be better. And that's where we will need to have a more cohesive planning on what is it based on the density of the population, whether it's urban, rural, or semi-urban. You'll have to strategize it more better to implement behavioral modification strategies and transmission appropriate behavior, which includes vaccination, ventilation, masks, and the rest of the rules.
Sure. Dr. Siddharth, I want to come back to you on boosters. You see, only very recently India has announced that from the 10th of January, we are going to begin the process of boosting, right? This is also in a graded manner, which has been appreciated by some. But the concept of providing booster doses itself has been debated across the world. For instance, the WHO says both things, that you can't boost yourself out of this pandemic. In fact, it is going to prolong the pandemic. On the other hand, they also say that for a target group, it's important to have boosters. What's the final word, according to you, on boosters?
So that apparent paradox that you talk about is mainly because there are two distinct public policy goals here. If reducing infection itself is your goal, then boosters will not get you out of that. But if reducing hospitalizations and death is your goal, then boosters are another layer of protection from hospitalization and death. So clearly, the message has to be clear that one vaccine is better than nothing, two is better than one, and three is better than two. There should be no hesitancy in that. And that is going to save us from hospitalizations, from death. So there's no real paradox. But I think
Dr. Siddharth, by that logic, four will be better than three and five will be better than four.
This is yes, you could extend it to in that manner. But you have to remember that this is a airborne virus and, viruses do mutate. And for influenza, we do have yearly vaccinations. So it's not a one-off case. For many other viruses in childhood, you take as many as three or four vaccines. So it's not a unique scenario if you look at other diseases. So coming back to the other side of it, that you have to be clear that with Omicron, it's unlikely that the number of infections themselves will reduce simply because of vaccination, which is why you have to keep up the non-pharmacological interventions, be it masking, social distancing. But again, I agree with the other speakers that lockdown is not a solution. We, in particular in India, have to open up education. Primary and secondary school education has been affected for 2 years, and that needs to be looked at.
Dr. Jameel, the biggest risk in this country, apart from adults getting affected by this variant, is the fact that our children are still not vaccinated. In 2022, how important should it be as a matter of public policy for the government to think of vaccinating children quick and fast?
Well, Sanket, in medicine, it's all about risk versus benefit. And if you look at it from a population, from a public health perspective, then I think it's prudent to reduce disease severity, to reduce hospitalization and mortality. And that largely happens in adults. And especially if the adults have a weaker immune system. So it's best to give them boosters, it's best to protect them. As far as children are concerned, children do get infected, and the fourth sero survey showed that even though schools were closed, as many children got infected as adults. So they are getting infected in household settings. They're not getting infected in schools. That's point number one. Second is hospitalization of children, severe disease in children is very, very low. So therefore, it makes public health sense to continue to vaccinate adults. But yes, in 2022, I think as we cover more and more adults, vaccination will go towards children. And then you start with adolescents and go down. And that's how you open schools as well. You don't open primary school first and then middle and then secondary. You don't open secondary first and then primary. You open primary first because that's where the risk of disease is the lowest. And hopefully by the time you get to secondary schools, you would have covered those.
But, Dr. Jameel, if you look at the response of the government, we are planning to vaccinate children in the age group of 15 to 18. We'll begin that vaccination drive soon. Perhaps the idea is so that they can start going back to school, take their tests, and then education does not suffer. There's still no policy on 15 and below.
Well, that's fine. I mean, adolescents 15 to 18 will get more severe disease compared to younger children. So vaccinating them as a priority makes perfect scientific sense. Hmm. What I'm arguing about is in unvaccinated children, when you open schools, you don't open secondary school first and then you open primary school. You go the other way around because the risk of disease is lowest in the youngest lot of children. So I think good scientific understanding and following data is very important.
Yeah.
And Indians need to get out of this mental makeup that Indians are somehow special and special things will happen to them. Over the last 2 years, we have seen that that's not true. We are not special. We are just as vulnerable as anybody else. I mean, people came out earlier saying, oh, because Indians get BCG vaccination, they won't have disease. Look what Delta did to us. Mm. Now it's a natural vaccine that God has given us. And now this will protect everyone. I think this kind of reasoning is very dangerous. Time and again, we've seen this.
True. Very true. Very true. And the biggest problem is, at least in this election season, are politicians who think that they're even more special. Because there is a curfew by night, but rally by the day. One really does not understand this logic. But Dr. Basu, coming back to you on the larger point of vaccine inequity. We are as safe against this virus as we distribute the vaccine. But right now the problem is great vaccine inequity. Where did Omicron come from? Africa. Which part of the world has the lowest vaccination? Africa. Do you think that this is one issue that needs to be addressed in 2022? We can't be selfish about vaccination drives.
Absolutely right. We cannot be selfish about vaccines at all. And what I am disturbed about is by the first world countries who are hoarding the vaccines, who are allowing vaccines to expire instead of sending it out across to the world, to the places where they have not enough vaccines to vaccinate their population. So even Israel is giving, like you said, the fourth booster. They are giving out a fourth booster. Instead of that, if they could, we could start, giving out the vaccines to the poorer countries. I think India has done a decent job as far as that is concerned, as far as vaccine equity has concerned, because we were part of the COVAX group where we gave out a large proportion of vaccines to the rest of the world where there was not enough vaccines available. And you rightly said that if we are not out of the woods, still the last person is vaccinated. So we need to address vaccine inequity in 2022, most definitely. We need to get the developed world, we need to get USA, Canada, Europe to, not hoard the vaccines and...
where the cases are exploding. These cases are exploding in exactly those countries. So their hoarding has not helped them. It's a self-defeating exercise.
Yeah. True. It's not helped them at all. And I would find there are a lot of anti-vaxxers over there as compared to the rest of the world. People in the rest of the world, rest of the developing world, third world countries, I don't know. I have to read up about that, whether there are as many anti-vaxxers as there are in the USA, in Canada, in Europe. And that's where they are not following the rules. They are not masking up. And that's where the cases are exploding at present. So I think that needs to be addressed. And I hope the administration of those countries comes together and, thinks about the larger picture and starts, transferring vaccine power. And more than that, even vaccine knowledge. I wish Moderna and Pfizer did not keep this knowledge to themselves and they would, bring out and they would transfer this knowledge to others. So if you can't give out the vaccines, at least transfer the knowledge to the rest of the countries where we can. India, I'm sure, is capable of manufacturing those vaccines. We just need the know-how of this.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So now I'm going to spend the last 5 or 6 minutes talking about solutions for the future, solutions for 2022. Dr. Rao, you go first. Our learnings from wave one and then the learnings from wave two, how prepared has it made us for wave three? Or we just don't know what is going to happen, just like we didn't know what to expect in wave two. And more importantly, our political response. And I'm going to repeat this again. It is not right for institutions and establishments to suggest that people take care, whereas those who are supposed to exercise political will are going to hold rally after rally by the day and then impose curfew by night. Dr. Rao, your solutions.
Thank you, Sanket. So as I said earlier, Sanket, the virus year after year seems to be working towards getting stronger. And there seems to be an obvious race between the vaccines and the variant. So at this juncture, if the world has to be a safer place, we will have to come together in terms of addressing vaccine inequalities, because the next new emerging variant may come from any corner of the world with poor vaccination. So with the coming years, we will have to ensure that the country is going to be safer if the vaccination rates are going to be better, and the obvious race between the vaccine and the variant will continue until the endemic state appears. At this juncture, I would like to reiterate that India has about 26% of its population below the age group of 14 years, which comes to about 19 crores. It's a very big number. And considering the rapidity of transmission with Omicron, we cannot take this lightly at this juncture. And earlier also, Dr. Swaminathan re-emphasized this, that this can overwhelm the health system. So the 5 T's, testing, tracking, tracing, but beyond that, teamwork, training for a better preparedness and discipline is going to be very crucial in the coming months for us to, I think, win this war. And any premature announcement or a victory announcement on this should be avoided at this juncture to be well prepared. I think I would like to stop at that. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Dr. Jameel, your solutions in 2022, what do you propose?
Well, first of all, I would say follow the science. That's very important. And time and again, we have seen how science has helped. But, you know, the understanding of the scientific process is not something that is very evident. When a scientist says something yesterday and something a little different today, it doesn't mean that she was lying yesterday or today. It simply means that the information has evolved. Maybe because of better tools, maybe because we have a better understanding of things. And scientists are possibly the only people who would love to be proven wrong. Unlike politicians, since you mentioned that up front. So I would say follow the science, go for evidence-based policy making, and not policy-based evidence making. That's a very dangerous trend. So I'll just stop at that, and I wish all of you a very good new year.
That's a very, very powerful message from Dr. Shahid Jameel, extremely powerful message, that you can't work a policy backwards and then think of the science around it. It has to be science-led. I'm sure people will understand, or this message will reach where it is intended to. But Dr. Siddharth, your solutions for 22.
My solutions are simple. Vaccinate, mask, focus on the public health and primary care infrastructure in India. You know, this is a real wake-up call for in the Indian healthcare system to be more public health and primary care-driven rather than hospital-driven. So these are the three things. And I fully agree with Dr. Jameel that public health policy response needs to be nimble. It needs to move faster because the science is also moving at a rapid pace. And there is a lot of uncertainty. So you have to acknowledge that science can be uncertain, and that is fine. So that would be my main points.
Okay. Dr. Basu, last word.
So mask, most important thing. It still works. It's the only thing that's been working. It's the one thing which has been working from right from the beginning. Vaccinate. I would add over here, as far as public policy is concerned, I would like to transfer the know-how, like you said, the technology of vaccines, to and share the know-how with the rest of the world. That is very, very important so that other parts of the world becomes independent in making the vaccine, and so that we don't have to borrow or ask for ask people to give us the vaccine. They can hoard as much as they want if they provide the know-how or share the technology with us. So that would be one of my important 2020 policies. And yes, the last thing, I don't want to sound political, but all politicians should wear a mask.
Well said.
That's my last thing.
There is nothing
thing
political
on this.
About this, Dr. Basu. Absolutely nothing political about this, because there is a very, I don't know whether we should say this or not, an extremely selfish and shameless attempt by political parties and leaders to think that they're above everything, that the virus is not going to affect them at all or their political rallies. It is a point. These are visuals, which is why NDTV has launched a mask up campaign again. An absolutely identical campaign was launched in March 2020, April 2020. We're launching it again. as all doctors you just heard on this show are saying, mask up. It is the cheapest and the most effective way to protect you from these newer and newer variants. Wish each and every viewer a very, very happy new year. Thank you very much to the doctors for this sound advice. Thank you so much for joining us.